Today on This Week in Pop, movies!
And Movie Pass.
Yes, you can see lots of them, unlimited, or kind of, maybe, depending on which one you purchase.
It might change week to week, you never know.
You never know. By the time this podcast comes out, Movie Pass may be bankrupt. We never know. Plus, Jurassic World is...
a Jurassic disappointment.
Whoa, I like that. That's today on This Week in Pop. Hello and welcome to This Week in Pop. I'm Tommy West.
This Week in Pop.
That's not the theme song.
We're going to get one. Yeah. I feel like one of these days, we're going to get one. It's going to be good.
We'll get one. It'll be up hip. It'll be up tempo and hip for the kids.
I'm Maxwell.
Tommy West.
Jenna.
Oh, do we need to do that? Jenna is not here. These,
Jenna. Weeks.
But we were on a lot of different places where people can hear us, but we're also on iTunes. Obviously, that's where most people are listening to us. We can break our show up into seasons.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So right now we're still in season one. I'm like, when do we break into season two?
When does that happen? Like NBC, like after six episodes, let's take a break.
Yeah. So this is our 10th episode.
So season three.
So
episode two.
Maybe we break it now.
Sure.
Or maybe we break it after next week. We'll play a whodunit. Like, where is Jenna? And then Jenna will come back, and then we'll do like a recap of whatever happened to her.
Or we completely forget that plot, get a lot more money, and recast
in season two.
Hello.
Jenna, if you're not here next week, you're being recast in season two.
Amy Poehler.
Yeah, wow.
Well, we can't get her.
Maybe that should be something we talk about at some point, whether it's today or another episode, best and worst recasts.
I like that.
Yeah, which I think really the only ones I know of are like Darren from Bewitched. And
That's it.
There we go.
We're gonna do some research. We'll get that one. I like it.
A completed topic. Unfortunately, Jenna's not here, so we can't talk about... Well, we can talk about it, but
no.
I mean, you don't care.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
I guess I could just leave it at this. Westworld was awesome. The end.
I haven't watched it. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
When Jenna comes back, you can talk to your heart's content.
Heart's content.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll save it for when Jenna comes back.
Thank you.
What else is going on in the world of movies?
Well, Movie Pass.
Whoa.
Which I love talking about because I love Movie Pass. I do. I've saved a ton of money, but the company, it's a mess. They always say like, oh, we're a startup. You know, we're trying to get our footing. I mean, they should have it by now. I mean, they are growing a lot. I think they're at 3 million subscribers now, but there are some new things that have been added that people are not happy about. I couldn't care because it's a matter of like $2. I mean, the biggest thing is this surge pricing.
Surge pricing.
As if the Uber of the movie world, during opening weekends or movies they consider to be popular, will have a surcharge of maybe $2 or $3.
Did they officially say that's the dollar amount? Or
I would assume that's what it's going to
be.
Okay. Yeah. It's slowly being rolled out, and you also get one peak pass where once a month you can forego that surcharge as if the fee is waived.
Yeah.
And you should be grateful for that.
But now the one thing I want to mention there, because that's the only like fee oriented thing they've really implemented or going to implement. The thing that's frustrating is that, number one, a lot of people have pointed out like, Uber, it's supply and demand, right? Like there's just not enough taxis or cars to go pick people up. So they surge it because, you know, there's less cars than there are people. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're running out of tickets to the movie.
I mean, I get that to a point. I mean, opening weekends are higher traffic.
Right.
And it could be, MoviePass is trying to find ways to make more money to offset their debt, which is massive. They have a lot of it. And this seems like not the worst way to go about it. I'm trying to think of other ways besides advertising and data mining, which I don't think we can make them a lot of money.
Right.
But they added some other cool things. Like finally you can buy a ticket for your friend.
Right.
Through
a
movie pass.
I did see that.
I mean, that's a great thing. I think they're starting to get the electronic, purchasing. Like you don't have to go to the theater to buy the ticket. You can buy it online.
Right. But is that just with the more partnered theaters though?
Or? I think so. I don't think AMC has that yet because obviously the other big thing is that AMC now has their own monthly, movie pass like thing. I think it's called AMC A-lister or Stubbs A-lister. I'm a Stubbs member too.
Yeah.
I bow every time they thank the Stubbs members at the beginning of the movie, even though no one else does.
Take a bow, everyone.
I do. I bow. I make sure everyone sees that I am a member.
I will say the only time I ever enjoyed being a Stubbs member is I went to the theater and they had at the concession stand, they have the regular line
and the stubs,
and the stubs line. And nobody was on the stubs line, and the regular line was really
massive,
long.
It always is.
And I just walked like with my head up, held up high, and like, yeah, that's right, I'm a stubs member, you losers.
But I feel bad because the people behind the counter have to explain, I feel like, every 5
yes.
minutes why you get to cut that person who's been waiting for
I've
at least 35
waiting.
Minutes.
He just walked up. Why did you pick? Why
sir,
did
he- sir, I'm sorry. He is a stubs. What stubs?
Sir, he paid $20 a year.
I paid 12 American dollars.
Yeah, so are there any other more features of the...
Those are the new ones for the movie pass thing. Yeah. But AMC Stubs, which is a good thing too.
Yeah.
I think it's $20 a month. You get to see 3 movies a week, but there's no limit to which movie you could see. So if you want to see Jurassic World 8 times, you can. With movie pass, you can't. AMC allows you to see their Dolby Cinema, which is a fantastic theater if you haven't seen it yet. You can see IMAX 3D. It's all included in their package.
Right.
And AMC obviously is the most dominant movie theater.
Yeah.
I mean, we're spoiled being in New York City.
Yeah.
It's all AMC. But if you're stuck in God knows where, Minnesota, sorry to Minnesota, you might only have one theater chain. It might not be AMC.
Yeah.
So I see both sides. I don't know if I'm going to get both. I mean.
Yeah. And I think for me is, all right, so really comparing, because it was that other company too that did the unlimited movie thing also is, I started an S. I forget the name of it.
I don't know. Not sure.
But they were a higher price, and they also, but they did allow you to do like IMAX and 3D movies and stuff like that, which I personally don't care about. For me, I'm really in the middle guy. Like, I think you go to the movies a lot.
A lot.
I haven't been to the movies in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And MoviePass was encouraging me to go to the movies more because I'm like, well, I have it. I might as well take advantage of it.
But they want you. Like, you're the reason why MoviePass can stay in business. The casual moviegoer who goes maybe once a month at best.
Right.
I am tanking MoviePass by going twice a week.
Yes. We balance each other out.
Yes.
And that was the thing too, is like, so MoviePass is still at $10 a month. It's unlimited. But with their new updates, even before this one, is like, all right, you can only see the same movie once. Which for me, I was like, the one time I really used MoviePass a lot was when I went to go see Star Wars opening weekend by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I took my wife to see it another time, and I took my son to see it another time. So that's 3 for the same movie. As of today,
I can't do that anymore. No.
And then the other thing to think about there too is, in a given month, how many real movies, for someone that's more like my side of casual, how many movies are really going to come out in a month that I'm actually going to want to go see? And so, like, even like this month, and you know a lot better than me, is like, all right, so we have Jurassic World came out. Last week,
you can see Incredibles too. Like, the summer is easier. You have a lot of options, but then there's stuff like October.
Yeah.
Or you get maybe one at best. But again, being in New York, we're spoiled with all the limited release movies and things that aren't allowed or aren't shown in middle America because there's no theaters for it.
Right.
It's a location thing. People have preferences in certain places that are a little better off having MoviePass.
Yeah. I think for me, that's why if MoviePass did, like, MoviePass is like unlimited movies. In reality, if they had just kind of done what AMC did, which is like, all right, you can see 3 movies a month, which I know they played around with,
They did, yes.
That would make more sense to me if I can just see the same movie more than once.
It might. I mean, I get that too. But at the same time, MoviePass is trying to stop people from, they call it scalping. It's really just buying a ticket for something else. Or even in the early days of MoviePass, you could have taken your your card that they give you and go to CVS and buy stuff. They didn't really monitor that. And they are now by making you take a picture of your stub, trying to prove that you're using this money towards a movie ticket.
Yeah.
So,
I will say the thing I'm more interested in though is the recent announcement after. So MoviePass made the announcement. Well, let me back up. This is the chain of events. AMC came out and said, we're introducing our own plan. That same day, MoviePass is like, how dare you? See, they're copying us. And this is why they were mad at us, because they just wanted to copy our model. They were just jealous. A day later, MoviePass is like, by the way, we're going to make some changes now and charge our customers some more. And then another couple days later, and this is the important one to me, if you're a listener of this podcast, Alamo announced their new plan. It's in beta testing in Yonkers, New York. So just north of New York City. And there's no real information yet on like what the pricing is going to be, what the restrictions are going to be. At the end of the day, though, number one, they're being really transparent. They're actually telling people like, hey, we're going to test out different prices. We're going to test out different restrictions. We're going to just play with this and figure out what the best kind of medium is for everyone. But at the end of the day, too, especially a place like Alamo, which I love because it's an experience, not just like go sit down, watch a movie, maybe buy some overpriced popcorn. If I go in there for free, whether it's MoviePass or something else, they're going to make money off me on drinks and sure. food and stuff. So really, it's like, hey, want to come to our restaurant for free yeah. and not pay a cover charge?
I mean, the beauty of all this is no matter what happens to Alamo or AMC or MoviePass, yeah. we win.
Yeah.
Movies are going to be cheaper now.
Yeah.
Whether MoviePass goes away or not, tickets are going to be cheaper.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing. Because yeah. movies, it's too expensive. It is. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I mean, you paid maybe at best total $14 for the popcorn and the snacks yeah. and the ticket. Now, if I took my girlfriend to it, I think I'm paying about $60 if I'm yeah. like not using MoviePass.
yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
And I love that things are starting to change. And yeah. I'm happy.
It's funny too, because I mean, over the past couple of summers before MoviePass, every article, you know, Deadline and Variety is like, oh, this, you know, less people, less percentage down from last year. And that just kept happening. And you go to the theater and unless it's opening weekend, you go to see, you know, you go to see like Guardians of the Galaxy on like the third weekend. And then you have the theater mainly to yourself and yeah. they're to blame. It's again, to your point, it's, you know, I wish I knew more about sports, but there's an NFL team, that turned around and just reduced their concession prices to like normal prices that aren't gouging their fans. Like instead of like a $7 hot dog, they're like, no, it's a hot dog. It's $1.50, whatever, $2. Yeah. And now they're getting more people to come to the stadium because they're like, yeah, no, we'll come to the stadium. We'll spend more money because it's in reality less. And they're getting more interactions with their fans that way.
Yeah.
That's sort of what movie theaters needed to do, but when they get less people, they're just charging more for everything else. And it turned into where you're spending $100 on a night out to go see a movie that you think sucks at the end of the day anyway.
Which unfortunately this past weekend was Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Oh man.
It was, I don't know why it's like the Terminator. They keep trying to make it. And I don't understand. I mean, it's a cash cow. It makes a ton of money. It didn't make what Jurassic World made, but it tried to be a lot of different things. And there was one aspect of it where spoilers, if you haven't seen it yet, the second half sort of takes place in this mansion, the bad guy's mansion.
There's a bad guy. I thought the dinosaurs were the bad guy.
No, dinosaurs are just the dinosaurs.
Wait. So can you take a step back and take me through this? So, cause here's my understanding of it, or here's my expectation of it. What was the second Jurassic Park movie?
The Lost World.
Is that the one where
that's Jeff Goldblum? The dinosaurs come to the mainland.
Okay.
And raise havoc.
And then they have to go back to the island.
Yes.
And they're trying. Yeah.
This one.
That's what I thought this was going to basically
it's
be.
It's not. I mean, the basic premise of this one, which again, makes no sense. The island is almost becoming inhabitable. They want the dinosaurs gone.
Okay.
People are not happy that the dinosaurs killed a lot of people. By going to look at the dinosaurs on the island.
Okay.
Nebula, I forgot the name of the island. Cue sexy, sexy Chris Pratt and sexy, sexy Bryce Dallas Howard. They are recruited to find Blue, which is the main dinosaur that Chris Pratt trained.
Right, his little pet.
In Jurassic World. Mm. Why they need them is beyond me, except to move the plot, because
they
when they go on the island, they're already a massive army getting the dinosaurs.
Okay.
There's a private company hires Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard to go and collect dinosaurs for humanitarian purposes.
Wait a second.
But it's a little secret, Tommy.
Uh-oh.
It's not for humanitarian purposes.
Is it for military?
It's to auction off dinosaurs.
Oh, no.
And make the money.
But to who? Who's buying dinosaurs?
Generic rich people who are bad guys. There's a whole evil auction that takes place in the haunted mansion. But this is where they really messed up. They could have had it be a true horror movie because they had the elements of it. They had this horror. They had this mansion. They had these horrible, scary creatures.
So when does the mansion come into this?
The mansion always comes in, right? Don't worry about the mansion. The mansion's fine.
Okay.
The dinosaurs get relocated to this mansion to be auctioned off.
Okay.
By Toby Jones of Captain America, Civil First Avenger fame. And they're auctioning off, and Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard are like, no, dinosaurs should not be auctioned off. So they, you know, set one free, and it raises havoc. Oh. And there's a little girl who's always in danger.
So this seems like it goes off the rails.
It does.
Okay.
Yes. And if I'm explaining it poorly, it's because it makes no sense.
But like, why does, because I think the other like Jurassic Park, Lost World movie.
Which one, had Jurassic that- World or the Lost World Jurassic Park? Jurassic World was the Chris Pratt one.
Okay.
Lost World is the Jeff Goldblum one.
I think Lost World had a similar plot where like they hire outside contractors. And there's always like the pseudo bad, like we're here to like, you know, take down the dinosaurs. We're hired. We're outside. You know, they're black uniforms. Yep. Of course, they look like military that spray painted everything with matte black.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost disappointing because, yeah, sure. That was like what? 1998. Yeah. And you can kind of give it away, like, all right, the '90s were a weird time.
But the 18s,
yeah,
no. And again, they genetically modified a dinosaur in Jurassic World. They do it again in this one.
They didn't learn their lesson.
No, and they never do. And they never will. Which is why we're going to get a third one of this, and it's going to be the same exact plot.
Did they set up like a where the third one might go?
Yeah, I don't even want to go into it. Let's just say that there's going to be a lot more genetically modified dinosaurs in our future. But there's also going to be sexy Chris Pratt, and that makes me happy.
I think what's frustrating is like, all right, I go back to the original Jurassic Park, and essentially what that really was a very unique horror film.
Sure.
I mean, we didn't notice it as kids. We're like, dinosaurs, sure. But it was a unique horror film. There's like a theme park that it just turns into chaos and the animals get loose. It's like the worst zoo ever.
Yes.
It's but Harambe, worse.
But the issue is that keeps happening.
Right.
There's no more originality in this franchise.
But that's why I think the only thing I did like about Lost, wait, no.
Which
the
one?
Jurassic World, the new
Chris Pratt,
the Chris Pratt number one.
Yes.
Was you, when you go to see the 1994 Jurassic Park, you do want to see what this would be like if it was actually opened and there were guests and stuff. And then if this Jurassic World almost seemed like what the follow-up should have been.
In a way, yeah.
Right. And the fact that it did take place like 20 something years later makes perfect sense. But the thing is, and then when it's like, oh, it's this time the park opened and then turned into chaos.
Yes. And I also did not like what they did with the park. It just didn't look, I didn't have that sense of amazement with Jurassic World. When I saw Jurassic Park, that amazed me.
Right.
Just like the way they did it. I mean, I don't know how much CGI was involved in Jurassic Park, but I don't think it was a lot. Jurassic World was nothing but CGI.
Right. No, I agree with you there. And the other thing too is, I mean, you do like daytime, you know, like very bright lights, daytime, you know, CGI, it's going to look a lot different than in the dark, even graphics from 1994, where it's like dimly lit and like there's like almost like glimpses of the bad monsters. But I will say this, the only thing I did like, I think it had little pieces of what could have been great about it, because having this, it's a world of dinosaurs that you can go see, and it's an amusement park like Disney World, but people are bored of it. I mean, the movie essentially starts off with these kids that go there, and they're just like, I'd rather be on my phone. This is boring, whatever. Okay, yeah, whatever, dinosaurs.
And you also know that everybody is safe. In Jurassic Park, I felt like anything could happen at any moment. In this new one, there was easily the worst character I've ever seen on screen, and he just survived everything. The nerdiest of nerds had no business being anywhere.
Wasn't Jake Johnson?
It was not Jake Johnson. Oh. No major character was in any risk of harm at any point in this movie, and that makes that incredibly boring for a disaster movie.
Well, that's sad.
I'm sorry.
I will say I did see, I think coming later this month is your Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie.
Oh, Die Hard Reanimated?
No.
Skyscraper?
Skyscraper.
Yeah, it's basically Die Hard.
Is that what it is?
I mean, he's in a skyscraper saving his family. from terrorists.
Is that what it is?
That's what Die Hard is.
Who are the terrorists now in movies?
It doesn't matter.
Are we Germans again?
Sure.
Russians? Yeah. Who are our generic?
Honestly, at this point, it should just be Americans.
Just domestic terrorists.
Sure. That's where we're at these days. Coming out this weekend, we've got Sicario 2, which is a horrible title.
Cicero.
It's not Cicero.
That's what I could call it.
Sicario 2, Day of the Soldado. They should just call it Soldado.
Which I will say, again, I still haven't seen the first one.
Which
I really
shocks me.
Want
you
to.
You should see it.
It's on my list. I've seen the scenes out of it, which are shocking and amazing. And now I want to see the rest of the movie. But I feel like I already saw the best parts. It's the only reason why I haven't like rushed out to go see
you
it.
You should. One of the best surprises of the past 5 or 6 years is right. Taylor Sheridan's trilogy of Sicario, Hell or High Water, and Wind River as a trilogy is just truly fantastic in terms of filmmaking. Yeah. If you haven't seen those three movies, watch them because they're fantastic, especially Hell or High Water. One of my favorite movies in the past 5 years.
Maybe we can curl up under the blanket and watch it someday.
Okay. If you ever want to.
I will say though, and I know since you're a fan, obviously, as you just explained, the early reviews out of this sequel are basically saying, all I want to do now is see a third one.
Yeah. And there should be. There probably will be.
Which is a rare thing to see from reviews for a sequel.
Yeah.
Of saying, I loved it so much, I want another one quickly, please, now.
And it's hard. I don't know if Roger Deakins, who's an amazing cinematographer, he did the first one. I don't think he did this second one, but Benicio Del Toro and Josh Brolin are still in it. Emily Blunt is not.
Right. But she's been quiet now.
She's been quiet. Quiet place. But the movie's been getting great reviews, and that makes me very happy because, again, Taylor Sheridan has become an amazing voice in filmmaking. And he started out as an actor, wasn't a writer.
Acting.
And it's just an amazing thing. Now, if you're in for a slightly more lighter fare, there's Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew?
Uncle Drew, if you don't know.
I don't know.
Is based off a commercial that Kyrie Irving does. Kyrie Irving is a basketball player. Used to be for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now he's on the Celtics. He dresses up as an old man and schools people in basketball.
On. No, come on.
He's like, he's an old man. He's not going to know any moves. And then holy, he's got moves.
Is this like that Kevin Spacey cat movie that came out last year?
I don't know if it's like, you mean like the one that's been financed by mysterious French people?
Well, what was the one earlier this year? The one with Job from Arrested.
Oh, the dog one. Yeah. Dog Police or Chow Chow or something.
Where are these movies coming from?
France. I told you, France. Just mysterious French millionaires funneling money through a shell of a movie.
See, what's funny is I remember when I was a kid, back in my day, you know, you had like Beethoven, you had Dennis the Menace,
those were real ones.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But now if it's a quote-unquote kids movie, just animated. That's it.
Yeah, or talking dogs.
Or talking dogs. But why is it a basketball player?
I mean, it was an incredibly popular commercial where, you know, Kyrie Irving schooled these guys. I think it was either Pepsi or Nike, and they turned it into a movie where I think Nick Kroll is in it. Tiffany Haddish is in it. I'm sure Shaq is in it for some reason because he always is if basketball is involved. And they made a full length movie out of it, and it's coming out this weekend.
Are you telling me there's a fully financed by marketing product placement movie coming out?
Yes, and it's called Uncle Drew.
The last good one was Mac and Me. So I'm very, very excited about any type of product placement like that.
And if you're into more limited fare, I'm just a shell for these movies, but this one actually was great. I caught this at Sundance. It's called Leave No Trace. Mm-hmm. It stars Ben Foster.
I know him.
Yep. An actor.
Acting.
He's been in things.
He was from Flash Forward on Disney when you had to pay for Disney.
Okay. He was in other things. He was in Hell or High Water, which is, you know, great.
He was
movie.
On the Disney Channel when I was a kid.
He plays a vet who sort of has an issue with PTSD. He lives with his daughter in a national park.
Okay.
Sort of living off the land. And it's all about their life together and how, minor spoiler, they do get caught.
Uh-oh.
And it's all about them reacclimating into the real world.
Do they have to pay for the park fees?
No. They don't pay for park fees.
They get caught by the park police?
They do get caught by the park police. But it was a fantastic movie. Go check it out if it's playing in a theater near you called Leave No Trace. Mm. I don't want to spoil much more about it, but it's a very, very good movie. If you like Into the Wild with Emile Hirsch, the Sean Penn movie, kind of like that, but a little more low-key.
Low-key?
Low-key. A low-key Into the Wild.
Does that just mean nothing happens?
No, stuff happens.
Okay.
Trust me.
I'll take your word
for it. Don't fight me on this.
I do remember a great episode of The Office, which will be a great segue, where Michael Scott goes into the woods.
Survivor Man.
I've been rewatching The Office a lot lately. Yeah. It is next to my Xanax. It's the thing that keeps me calm.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
And I've had feelings, and I think I've mentioned it on this podcast, that once Michael Scott leaves and then they go into the, you know, I think once, not even once Michael Scott leaves, when Andy becomes the boss, I felt like it went downhill from
That's
there.
That's season 9.
Yeah. But it brought up a good point, and we're huge fans of The Office, but I started going back. I finished that. So I did the run from episode 1 all the way through Michael Scott leaving. And then as soon as Andy does that, like, drum roll, please, and the camera pans up and he's sitting in the office, I said, cool, bye. And I went back to the first episode again. And then I started trying to figure out, like, all right, well, in that realm, because I'm completely dismissing seasons 9 and 10. What is the best season of The Office?
Are we going to do that? We want to do this now?
Let's do this right now.
Okay. I don't know if we have enough time.
You think this is going to be a large conversation?
This is going to take an hour at least. This is my Bible.
Okay.
This is my everything.
So maybe this is a great tease for what people can expect for next week, because it's a special edition. It's a 4th of July, middle of the week episode of This Week in Pop.
Michael Scott, Paper Company, special episode.
Well, I was more going for this. If the show is called This Week in Pop.
Yeah.
And fireworks gonna be popping off.
Oh, I like
this
that.
This weekend, pop, 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 pop.
I love it.
Pop.
I like it. That. Best of Office.
Best of The Office.
I love it.
The best seasons. And in the meantime, you can actually tell us yours. You can tweet us. You can Facebook us. You can do all the things on all the social medias.
But if you don't give us the right answers, you will be scolded.
Right. And we'll block you.
Yeah.
It's at This Week in Pop. I'm Gotham Tommy on Twitter.
At Alt Maxwell.
He's at things. We'll see you next week. We'll talk more about The Office and stuff. Bye.